Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the morning show here, February 22nd. We've just had the President's Day weekend. What was it like for you, Julie? We're recording this ahead of time. What do you think it's going to be like?
Well, I can only hope it was great weather and I did wonderful outdoor things, Phil, but time will tell. Meanwhile, skiing is fun, but we could use more snow.
We could use more snow. I think I'm going to try to go find somewhere warm over the weekend, whether it's desert or warm water, one or the other.
Yeah, that's a plan. That sounds like a great plan.
But it should be wild and woolly and fun. And that kind of combination of wild, woolly, fun, and water brings us to today's topics.
It sure does. And, you know, even if the weather around Sandpoint or the conditions aren't perfect, it can be really fun to watch other people in other places doing great things. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about this morning. So I'll begin with that. We're going to be talking about the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, and that's with Kelsey Maxwell. Kelsey, you are the Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness Communications and Development Director. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Great. Or I should say hello again, because we've chatted before, but it's so nice to have you back.
Yeah, it seems like a long time ago.
It does. It often does. And then our second guest, and we'll hear from her from time to time, but we'll hear more from her toward the end of the interview. And this second person is the Lake Pendere Waterkeepers, Carolyn Knack, Associate Director. Hello, Carolyn.
Hey, Julie. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, it's so nice to see you again. We've been out and about and backpacked together and worked on trails and seen one another around town. It's nice to see your fresh face.
And it's such
a nice, fun combination to have on the show, because when we think about wild and scenic, it's hard not to think about the Scotchman Peaks or Lake Pendere. And of course, two of the people now who are coming right up of great importance to our conservation community, both Carolyn and Kelsey.
Yes, and it's nice to see some young faces. Maybe they'll hang around for a while and have nice long careers in the area. Well, I'm going to begin with you, Kelsey, and I'd ask you to tell the listeners a bit about yourself, your background, and what you do for Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness.
Great. Yeah, so I've been living in Sandpoint for a little over a year now, working for the Friends, doing communications and development work. I originally am from Rhode Island, so incredibly long way away. Went to school out in Colorado, and despite my mother's disappointment, told her I was never moving east of the Rockies after that, and have been exploring wonderful Western landscapes ever since, and have loved Sandpoint so far and getting to explore the beautiful Scotchman Peaks, and doing lots of event planning like the Wild and Scenic Film Festival.
Yeah, and what else do you do for Scotchman's?
So I basically make sure that everyone in the community knows about all of the programs that we have going on. So making sure that people know about and are excited to be a part of our outdoor education programs, our trail building days in the summer, and our hikes that we host for free in the Scotchman's all year round.
Yeah, they're pretty exciting and fun hikes. So we appreciate that you're willing to do that work. And it is really great to have someone doing that and getting us all out into the wilderness. Hey, tell us a bit about the Friends and its mission and history.
Absolutely. So the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness is a volunteer-driven grassroots organization based in Idaho and Montana. Is working to save the Scotchman Peaks for future generations, for our grandkids and their grandkids. So the proposed Scotchman Peaks Wilderness area is a really particularly rugged and special piece of our local public land. It's about the size of Lake Pendere, if you didn't know, and it spans the border of Idaho and Montana just directly north of Clark Fork. So what we're really trying to do at the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness is to build community around a shared love for the Scotchman's. And we're doing that by doing what I kind of talked about before, offering free guided hikes in the Scotchman's so more people can discover this beautiful area, building trails to make sure that people who are exploring the Scotchmans don't have to jump over like 1,000 down trees on the trails. And we also provide outdoor education programs for kids and adults, primarily our Winter Tracks program, where we partner with local schools to offer outdoor education in the winter to elementary and middle school students.
And this has been going on for some time.
Yeah, so the organization was founded in 2005. And today we have over 10,000 people who have signed their name in support of our mission to keep the Scotchmans wild forever.
That's amazing. Well, we're here to talk about something very special that's in the near future. So let's jump into it. And this is the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. Tell us what you know.
Yeah, so the Wild and Scenic Film Festival is a national festival that we're hosting here locally in Sandpoint. It can be viewed in either virtually, so from the comfort of your own home, or you can come join us at the historic Panada Theater in downtown Sandpoint. And the festival is a night-long celebration of wild places and adventurous people working to really protect our natural world. We'll be showing a selection that is curated of 10 films this Friday.
Okay, and it's another thing that has a history. It's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been around for over 2 decades, and this will be the 3rd year that the Friends of Scotch and Peaks Wilderness is hosting it for our community.
And I understand one of my good long-distance trail hiking running friends, Anish, is going to be here. She was in Sandpoint last about 10 years ago, and people still remember her visit fondly. She's featured in one of the films. Isn't that right, Kelsey?
Yeah. So the films are about a huge range of different topics, and they're from all across the world. And one of the films is going to be featuring this amazing long-distance thru-hiking woman who held the speed records for several of the most mentally and physically challenging long distance hiking trails in the United States. So that'll be really interesting for anyone who had the chance to meet her a couple of years ago.
Yeah, are there other topics that you can tell us about? It's always such an interesting festival. What else is happening?
Yeah, I won't give you any spoilers, but I can tell you that there's a film about a one-man canoe expedition in the Boundary Waters. There's another heartwarming film about a brave elephant named Shaba who is rehabilitated back to the wild in northern Kenya. There is an inspiring and uplifting film about the community of Paradise, California after recovering from the devastating wildfires a couple of years ago. And overall, it's you'll laugh, you'll cry, and you'll leave feeling really thankful for wild places and living in a community in northern Idaho where we have such great access to wild
places. I couldn't agree more. You know, that's the sort of film that one would want to see in the theater, but I understand why we won't all be able to make it in. Let's talk more about the options and how folks can watch.
Yeah, so we want everyone who wants to be able to attend this film festival to be able to do so. So that's why we are offering it both virtually and in person. So the tickets, whether you're watching at your home or at the Panada Theater, are the same price, and they're also interchangeable. So if you're feeling sick or if you've been exposed to anyone with COVID, but you've already bought a ticket to the Panada Theater, you can just stay home and use that same ticket to watch the films online. And, at the Panada Theater, we will be working really hard to keep our community safe by reducing capacity so that people have the ability to social distance, as well as strongly encouraging the use of masks at all times when we are in the theater.
Yeah, that makes sense. And those would be the details related to the COVID epidemic, the masks and the spacing. So if people do decide to come, they should feel relatively comfortable with the setting.
That is the goal, yes.
Good. All right, well, moving on, I'm just going to mention, because we have to do this, Phil, KRFY is going to be one of the sponsors. So that's pretty neat. We're co-sponsors.
It is exciting. I think it's one of the wonderful things about Sandpoint. We've talked about it before, but the community here and community radio is at the heart of helping to create community. It's one of the missions of KRFY, and are so many nonprofit partners and supporters. And it's great to be able to help give voice to some of the themes and concepts that will come out of these wild and scenic films.
That's for sure. I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's definitely been a while since I've been to it due to COVID. And that's a big part of what's changed. We haven't had the festival, at least we haven't had it in person, and now we're having it again. So I'm going to do my best to be there.
One of the things I miss most of all is movie theater popcorn. It's just not the same as the microwave popcorn at home.
So true. And the volunteers from the Panada make some of the best. Well, Kelsey, as we come to a close of our discussion with you, why don't you tell us something that our listeners don't know about Scotchman's Peaks or about the wilderness, some interesting little tidbit that we might, I mean, a lot of us, we know a lot about Scotchman Peaks, but there must be something we're not aware of.
That is a great question. I would say my favorite fact that maybe not, I think maybe a lot of people know, is that there is one very beautiful alpine lake. The largest alpine lake in the proposed Scotchman Peak Wilderness is Little Spar Lake. And you can get to it really easily from the Spar Lake campground. And it is the hike there in the summer is an absolute gem of our community. So for anyone listening who is into hiking, I would definitely suggest that hike.
Getting there, a real destination. And I love hiking to mountain lakes, especially if there might be a trout in them, and you don't have to tell us. In fact, please don't tell us if there are trout in that lake, because I don't need the competition. But we'll wrap up with you for the moment, Kelsey. Any final thoughts on the event and Friends of Scotchman Peaks before we move on to a talk with Carolyn?
I would just like to thank KRFY and all of our other local business sponsors for making this event possible. Our community is so lucky to have these local businesses that are committed to protecting our wildlands. And so thank you to our sponsors. Some of them include Idaho Forest Group, Sandpoint Property Management, All Seasons Garden and Floral, Williams and Schiller, CPAs and Consultants, and of course, this radio station, KRFY.
Very good. Phil, let's talk to Carolyn.
That's a hard act to follow, but if we have anyone who might come close, it would be Carolyn from the Waterkeepers. And welcome back to the show. At the top of the show, of course, Julie introduced you as the Associate Director for the Lake Pend Oreille Waterkeepers. So tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you came to be with the Waterkeepers and what you do as Associate Director.
Well, thanks, Bill, for that reintroduction. So I've been with the Waterkeeper for just over a year now as the Associate Director. I'm originally from Eastern Washington, so not quite as far as Rhode Island, but surprisingly, I never made it up here until my mom moved up here about 7 years ago.
And we know your mom, Carolyn. We know that she's Kate Painter, who does a great job with the Extension Office. We've interviewed her.
Yeah, it's really fun. I'm coming from a small community and then moving back to a small community and realizing the closeness of everyone. And, you know, it's funny saying people, oh, I know your mom, because I can still go back to my hometown grocery store and have the cashiers ask me about how my mom is doing. So I love living in a small community. I went to school in Seattle at University of Washington and studied biology. And I have a wide variety of interests, but afterwards I got an internship with the Forest Service doing stream inventory surveys, and realized that I have such a deep love for working outside and data collection and preserving those natural areas that we're so fortunate to have an abundance of here in the West. And so I got the opportunity to move to Sandpoint and work with the Waterkeeper as Associate Director. And it's a very, very small organization. It's me and my boss, Steve Holt, who's the executive director, and then four board members. So we all do a little bit of everything to help the organization keep running.
It sounds
like you've got your newest future employee in the background. I'm hearing what sounds like a little person back there.
Yeah, our office is in the CDS Tree Bridge, which is a beautiful office. However, our office is right above the treehouse at Creation.
So. Uh-huh. So it's not true that part-time you torture young children.
No, thankfully not. That's not part of my job description. Yeah.
We have a lot of listeners who are new to the area, or at least we think we have listeners new to the area, who might not be familiar with the Waterkeepers history and mission. Give us a brief background on the Waterkeepers organization.
So the Lake Pondere Waterkeeper was formed in 2009 with the purpose of protecting Lake Pondere and the surrounding watershed for future generations. And we do that through community engagement, advocacy, and education. And our jurisdiction is basically from the Cabinet Gorge Dam up near the Scotchman's to Albany Falls Dam near the border with Washington. And so all of the streams and rivers and lakes and waterways in between there. However, Lake Pondere is the biggest lake in Idaho. And so there's a lot of work to be done. And we focus on issues such as stormwater, wastewater, herbicides and pesticide usage, invasive species. And most recently, our biggest issue has been shoreline development.
And this was not on our original list of questions, but it popped up yesterday. I guess there was a literally pop-up public workshop on some of those shoreline, Sand Creek shoreline regulations. Anything to report on that?
Unfortunately, I was unable to make it to that meeting. However, I was reading the news today and learned that, you know, that my boss, Steve Holt, has been working very closely with the city to talk about stormwater impacts. And the city purchased that property with the intent to improve stormwater filtration treatment, since currently stormwater is untreated in our area. And it's a huge source of pollution around the world. And so we're trying to bring it more into light in our area.
There are so many potential threats to the quality of water in our lake. And I know the Waterkeepers have been tracking some of those emerging opportunities to do something about that over the last year. Can you give us a little bit of a rundown on some of the main things going on right now and where they're at, the top two or three?
I would say one of the biggest ones is the Trestle Creek Marina over near Hope. We are currently we're in the middle of a lawsuit in partnership with Idaho Conservation League and the Center for Biological Diversity. And the marina is being built next to Trestle Creek, which is one of the most prolific bull trout spawning streams in the Pacific Northwest. And so we were trying to encourage less development and try and work with the developer as well as Fish and Game to preserve that habitat and make sure that there are no impacts that could threaten bull trout populations. And so currently we're waiting on the U.S. Fish and Wildlife to do a reevaluation of the project. And then other issues. So we're working with the wastewater managers around the watershed and working on approaches to improve wastewater treatment to reduce the impacts of wastewater effluent being dumped into our lake. And then other issues that I mentioned before is stormwater. So currently stormwater is not being treated. And we have some sites such as an old pole treatment facility that contains a lot of toxins and carcinogens that are leaching into our lake. And so we're working with agencies such as the Department of Environmental Quality to determine approaches that can actually benefit our lake for the long term.
Carolyn, is that the pole yard that we all know about to the west of, would it be Boyer? Is it the current pole plant?
It's next to the current pole plant. It's owned by Jocelyn Manufacturing Company. It's on the corner of, I believe, Boyer and Baldy. It's near Super One.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's always so many things going on and so much to keep up with. And to help with that, the Waterkeepers have instituted something literally called Keeping Up with the Waterkeepers. Tell us about that series in the next one or two coming up.
So we started a new program in late summer of last year because we realized there's so much happening. And we really wanted to engage more with our community. And so we started hosting these monthly meetings where we would pick a current topic and present about them and encourage community members to come interact with us and ask questions. And so we host one on the first Thursday of every month. And the next upcoming one is going to be on March 3rd. And it starts at 5:30 and goes until about 7 p.m. and will be at the East Bonner County Library in Sandpoint in the community room. And I'll be presenting about the importance of snow on our watershed, which I think is perfect timing because we're all kind of thinking about our snowpack and we're a mountain town and snow is very, very important to our community.
Yeah, we're all hoping that you have a lot to talk about.
I've been doing a lot of research. I'm really, really excited about it.
That's good. And it's springtime. As I recall, February, March is about the time that you all start trainings for the summer volunteer programs.
Yeah, so for our water quality monitoring program, it's our biggest program, and we've been doing it since 2012. It's a volunteer-powered program, and it's one of the largest citizen science initiatives in North Idaho. And so once a month from May through September, we train citizen scientists in the spring and April. And then once a month from May through September, they go to a designated location on Lake Pend'Oreille or the Pend'Oreille River, and they collect water samples. And we then determine all sorts of parameters, such as nutrient levels, the clarity of the water, the temperature. And we present that data on our website and we share it with the Department of Environmental Quality. And they use that to work on things such as total maximum daily loads or TMDLs, which helps set the quality of the lake and determine the health of our waterways. And then they determine if there are any issues that they need to address.
And over time, I imagine trends develop. And have they been doing the citizen scientist testing for some time? I know it's been going on as long as I've lived here, which is only 6 years.
Yeah, we've been doing it since 2012. So last year was the 10th year of the program. And it was the first year I got to run the program. And I really, really loved it. I love data collection. And it's so fascinating to work with the volunteers because they come from all sorts of backgrounds. We have folks who work on planning. We have retired scientists. We have retired teachers. We have stay-at-home moms. It's a wide variety of people. And they all have their own individual connection with the lake, you know, as we all do living in Sandpoint. And they all have their own passions, and learning about what we do at the Waterkeeper and the issues that we are working on and how the water quality monitoring program helps address those issues is really fascinating. And it's one of those actions that folks can do to kind of make a difference and help organizations like us work with agencies and protect our lake for the future.
So someone wants to volunteer, how can they find out more?
So we are all over the web. We have our website at lpow.org. We're on social media at Lake Pend'Oreille Waterkeeper or LPO Waterkeeper. There aren't many Lake Pend'Oreille Waterkeepers, so hopefully we're the only
It'll
one.
Pop
you find.
Up. Yeah.
It'll pop up. Otherwise, you can email me. Our contact information is on our website, or you can stop by our office in the City Street Bridge, and I'd be happy to talk to anyone interested in learning more.
Well, it's always so much fun to talk with you and learn more. What are some of the things that you'd like to talk about that we haven't asked you?
Well, it's just, this is our slower season because most of the water is frozen. And it's always really exciting to plan for the spring and the summer and all the programs we have coming up. Last year, it was unprecedented amount of issues that turned up with shoreline development. And one thing that we're trying to encourage folks to do is if they have any questions about water quality concerns to contact us in any way possible. Last year, we had a lot of harmful algae blooms, and that's one thing that the Department of Environmental Quality works on, but they rely on people reporting them. And so we're trying to raise awareness about issues because you as a citizen can make a difference in how our water quality resources are managed and handled and protected.
Yeah, that's great advice. Phil, I'm going to ask the question again.
All right.
Tell us, if you will, something that our listeners don't know, some unusual piece of information about the lake and the waterkeepers that we might just be unaware of.
I believe the biggest question that I get at the waterkeeper is the lake healthy, which makes sense. Because a lot of folks that I've met, they may have moved from the east, they're used to seeing brown water. And the North Idaho is one of the youngest kind of developed areas in the US. And so there has been very little development. And I recently learned that I believe around 80% of our shoreline is still forested and public owned. So less than a quarter of our lake is privately owned and developed. And so that really contributes to a healthy watershed. And I mean, it is just wild all the beautiful places around our lake.
It is one of the truly unique things about our lake. So many of the large lakes out west are all private property around the lake, with a few exceptions. But to have a lake this large with that much public domain surrounding it is a really rare treat that we should cherish.
Yeah, I think so. But has anyone noticed that like that 80% all seems to go straight down from a mountain right into like the lake?
I'll throw something out that I don't think is widely known except amongst those who are frequently out on the lake on boats looking for campsites. But summer before last, Deb and I did a staycation the first summer of COVID, and we paddled around the eastern arm of the lake, and we visited many of the beaches on that east side where the cliffs come right down to the lake. And almost every one of them had a patch of poison ivy, which you don't see much of around here. And so just beware before you squat.
Yeah, that isn't it. That's another interesting tidbit, Phil. And one should watch out for that. No one wants to run into poison ivy.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you both, Kelsey and Carolyn, for coming on the show today. As always, it's a fun thing to bring on some of the emerging topics with the emerging leaders in Sandpoint onto our morning shows. As we conclude February and roll into the spring, Julie and I are going to be beginning to split up dates. So we'll each be interviewing different folks over the coming months, going solo as interviewers in hopes that eventually we get back into the studio that way faster. But you've got the next two shows, Julie, and then I can talk about the one March 15th. So why don't we give a little plug here for upcoming shows?
I'd be happy to do that, Phil. But before that, I would just like to thank our two guests who are so well-spoken, and they're young members of the community, and they're doing such great jobs in their work. And I just can't commend you two more. What nice interviews you gave. And I'm just so thrilled to have you today. So thank you both, Kelsey and Carolyn.
Thank you both for having us on. It's always a real pleasure to talk to you too.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, great jobs. So moving forward, though, our next morning show, Phil, our next one, and you'll be missing that one because it's a garden show, and that's with our newest morning show broadcaster, Julie Prochinski, is going to be about gardening in the area. And we've been talking about this for years and years, that we would try and work on a regular gardening show, and Julie has taken it on. And the next week is going to be about winter care for our trees and shrubs, overstories and understories, and we'll be hearing that next week. So that's going to be a really good one. And look forward to that. And then beyond that, we're going to be talking with the Master Naturalist. So
that'll be topics. March 1st for the gardeners. And then you'll be talking with the Master Naturalist for March 8th. Yes. And then coming up on the 15th, I'm going to have a couple of very interesting guests. We're going to be talking about the intersection between COVID and local wildlife. And won't give away anything there, but it's going to be a really interesting show.
I would think so. I think my dog had COVID.
Well, we will talk a little bit about domesticated animals crossover as well, but we're going to be looking primarily at the potential for crossover and what it means for things like hunter and safety, hiker safety, and our local wildlife populations. So
he might have been faking, though, because he'll do anything for like a piece of bacon.
Yeah. There's that possibility. As always, if you've tuned in midway and want to hear the entire broadcast, you can go to krfy.org and download a podcast of this or any of our other shows. And we appreciate everyone who's tuning in, listening to KRFY, community supported radio for North Idaho.
Yes, and to sum up, thank you again, our two guests today, Kelsey Maxwell of Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness, Communications and Development Director, and Carolyn Kanak, Associate Director at the Pondere Waterkeepers. Thank you both for joining us.